lift and encourage each other if we have the opportunity to do so. If you will, open up your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. This is my one and only slide this evening. 1 John chapter 4. I want to talk about God is love as we take our time and simply read throughout a few verses this evening. And just talk about them and look into it and see what it is, has to say. Looking to see what it says because it goes forth and talks so much about love in these verses. And it speaks to what we need to be doing, speaks about who our God is, and of course following in that example that he has set for us. So we're going to start in 1 John chapter 4 and look in verse 7 and work our way throughout the beginning of chapter 5. So starting there in verse 7, reading the first two verses here, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So it is important to study this. It is important to take time to know what is, to open up our Bibles and study other passages as we could spend a lot of time, more than what we're going to be spending tonight, and looking into love, looking into what Jesus meant when he spoke to Peter and asked him three times if he loved him. We could go forward to Corinthians and look at what we call the chapter of love. We could look at so many different things and really inspect that sacrifice of Christ, as we will look a little bit at as we bring out these verses here. But it tells us in these points that he who does not love does not know God. Because God is love. God is love. If we are asking ourselves that question of what is love, or who do I love, whom should I love? How far does love go? How little can love be? Again, that question that we talked about this morning, we looked into that lawyer asking, well, who is my neighbor? You know, that'd be one of those questions of trying to justify yourself. Well, what does it mean that I got to love my wife as Christ has loved the church? How far does that go? You know, and what does it mean to love thy neighbor as thyself? God is love. And simply looking at that point that we are supposed to be putting on our Savior, that we are supposed to be Christ-like, and that we are supposed to be trying to be like God. God is holy, therefore be holy, right? We are to be holy because God is holy. It's the same point as we talk about love. God is love, therefore be love. We are to apply these things. So it's important to look at everyone who loves is born of God. That's what we bring out here in verses 7 and 8. Moving on to verses 9 and 10. In verse 9 it says, "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins." What is love? God is love. How does he demonstrate his love? He gave his only begotten Son. That is how much God loves you. We can go to John 3:16 as it reads similar there. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God loves us so much. Take the closest person in your life, the person you love the most. Mine might come to your parents, your spouse, your children, friend, whoever it may be. Are you willing to take that person you love the most, that person that is so dear to your heart, and give them up to save someone else? God gave his Son. Again, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Again, we can look to the lesson this morning.
the Good Samaritan and bring out, it's not that the person who was beat and left on the side of the road, who was going to die if no one stopped and helped him out. It's not that he loved the Samaritan. It's that the Samaritan loved his neighbor as himself, right? It's because he was willing to stop by and take care of the person who was beaten left because he loved him as if he was himself. He took care of them because he said, well, if that was me, I'd want somebody to stop and help me. Again, God demonstrates his love, giving his only begotten son. Verses 11 and 12, if you will, says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Again, getting back to love thy neighbor, getting back to love your brothers and sisters in Christ, love your enemies, love one another. Because if we do not love one another, then can you truly claim that you love God? Because that is God's love. God loves all. God loves the world. Everybody. He loves everybody so much he desires all to be saved. He is long-suffering, patient, desiring all to come to repentance. Not to say he don't care that they did sin, but that doesn't keep him from wanting the murderer, the thief, the rapist, the bullies, the drunks, the homosexuals, any who is in sin, the lying, the adultery, the those who divorce without right cause, any sin that we read about. God loves them and wants them to be saved. God loves you, and even whatever sin that you have committed, he wants you to be saved. That's why he gave his only son. And therefore, since God is willing to do that for us, it comes down, what should we be willing to do for one another? Having a love for all. Having a love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for our friends and family, for our neighbors, for our enemies. If you will, pick up in verse 13. It says, by this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Again, as we look to see what is love, so many get caught up in thinking that means that we are simply happy when other people are happy. We are happy that they are happy. You know, I'm not going to stop them. I'm not going to say anything to them because look at them. They're happy in the lifestyle that they chose. Whether it's a sexual, immoral lifestyle, a drunken lifestyle, a one who's not willing to work, a bum. Because God tells us, again, we can preach about that, because God in the Word of God says, he who does not work shall not eat. But the Word of God here tells us, as we're reading here about God's love, in verse 14, if we have seen and testified the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world, we confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And as we work our way down, we're going to talk about his commandments. Testifying who Jesus is, preaching our Lord and Savior, teaching what he had taught, teaching repentance. That means that they're going to turn away from their sins. That's part of love. Because as we brought out this morning, just as if it was about the physical life of that person, of our neighbor that is dying, that you stopped by to see if you could assist them, that you could help them, that you could at least maybe call 911 to get the ambulance there or to drive them yourself to the hospital spiritually, if someone is in sin, they are dead or they are dying. If they're starting to be tempted and you can see them starting to go down that path before they cross that line, if you don't say something. Why? Because you love. Because we truly do have love, because that is who God is. That is who our Savior is. And that's who we want to be. Verse 17. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. Again, getting back, we love Him because He has shown His love, because He has created us, because He has been merciful with us, because He's been long-suffering with us, because He gave His only forgotten Son, His only begotten Son for us. We love Him because He has loved us. And if we have accepted His love, we truly have taken it, then it gets rid of our fear. No longer worried. Harris speaks about the day of judgment, the biggest fear that we should have, facing an eternal life of torment and destruction. But that fear should be gone. That fear should no longer be, unless there's sin in your life. Unless we have fallen back, fallen from grace. And then we need to repent of our sin and seek out His love once more. Well, if you've done that, as we preached this morning and we extended the Lord's invitation this morning, and if you had sin in your life and you prayed to God for forgiveness and you put that sin behind, that fear should be uplifted, should be gone. Because you've asked for forgiveness, and if you truly believe and who God is, and you've truly accepted His love, then He has forgiven you. And we no longer fear that punishment at the time and point, because God has forgiveness. Again, that doesn't mean we forget about it. It's a good help when we do fall short to put us in that zeal to repent of our sins. But we could also apply that to a few more things. We look at what, when we accept the love of God and how that eliminates our fear, that gets rid of fear of what we're going to eat, drink, and wear. Because as we turn to Matthew chapter 6 and we go forth about not worrying about today or worrying about tomorrow, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, or what we're going to wear. Why? Because we have faith in God. Because we're going to keep His commandments, and He's going to make sure we have the necessities that we need to have. He's going to take care of us. We don't fear what's going to take place. Again, there's a difference of fear and being prepared, working, making sure you put food on the table. But not truly afraid of what it's going to be like. Saying, what am I going to, as we looked and saw with children visual time and again, how many times have you read it through the Word of God and studied it as you first read? God just had 12 plagues in Egypt, and you're going to just cry about what are you going to drink? You're going to wonder what you're going to eat? And then a little further, they're again thirsty and wondering what they're going to drink. They feared. They said they were better off to die in Egypt where they had all the water they could drink. They were afraid. They had not truly put their faith in God. Fearing what others might think, fearing what the world might do. But if our faith and trust is in God, it's going to relieve those fears that we had. Pick up with me in verse 20. 20 says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. Again, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. We must love one another. It's not should. It's not should love most. We must love one another. If we have hate for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for our family, we need to work on something, because it says we do not have the love of God inside of us. We must love one another. Getting into chapter 5, those first 5 verses here, says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. And for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Again, what is love? How do we show that we have accepted the love of God? We keep his commandments. Jesus said the same thing as we read in John chapter 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. It says the same thing here. It says it right after one another, 2 verses there. Keep his commandments. Because as we look at the commandments, again, all about love. Because the first and great commandment is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second is like it, love thy neighbor as thyself. And as we follow those two commands, it'll help us keep all the others. You can look at those commands and see how they apply to the 10 commandments under the old law. You can see how they apply with all the teachings that Jesus had taught in the new. Comes down to us loving one another, us loving God as God has loved us. So therefore, it's important to study these things. Sometimes we can get caught up in slightly overlooking it because we know that many want to focus on love and love alone and don't want to focus on fear at all. They don't want to focus on that there is sin that can separate us from God, that causes us to go down the path of destruction, that can make us face God on that day of judgment and hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. But we do have to remember that it is love that gets us off that path. It is love that forgives our sins if we're willing to accept it and obey his commands. So we extend that invitation this evening to any who are ready to accept his love, to do as he has commanded you to do, to repent of your sins, to confess your faith, to be baptized into Christ and allow him to wash your sins away. You're here and you have obeyed the gospel, or you need the prayers of the congregation, or if you need to go to God in prayer on your own and ask for his forgiveness, make sure you do that tonight. If we can assist you, please let it be known as we stand and sing.